Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to talk about the pluses and minuses of making friends at work. Our question comes from someone who finds herself in a very cliquey environment and wonders if it's possible to make real friends at work. Then we'll spend the second half of our podcast discussing what you can do when a workplace friendship goes bad.
That's a tough one. You know, it's interesting, friends at work, on the one hand, it may be safer not to make friends, and on the other hand, that can also make you feel pretty lonely.
Definitely.
So I hope that our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
All right, Logan, what's our question?
I've been listening to your podcast for a while, and I've learned a lot. Thank you for the honest and non-politically correct answers. I'm a 30-year-old female working for a city agency. We have a lot of women in our office, and it's very cliquey. At every company I've worked for, I've always tried to make friends with other women in the office, or at least be friendly with them. I've learned that this is not always possible. I don't like the feeling of being alone or isolated in the workplace, and that's why I always try to make friends. My questions are, can you make friends at the workplace? When is it best not to make friends at the workplace? And what are the signs of a coworker who does not have the best intentions with you in terms of an office friendship?
Okay, it's a lot of questions.
Yes.
So start with the first one. Can you make friends at work?
And what is best not?
And what is it best not
to make
not
friends?
Not to.
I mean, our theory is always to be friendly, not friends. Mm-hmm. So being very friendly at work is, you know, how was your weekend? You know, how are you, caring about them, maybe even having lunch, and but just not getting, you know, don't invite them home. You don't have to go out with them. You could be very busy personally, but that you're very friendly. Mm-hmm. And I think it's best because the workplace is competitive. You don't know what's going to happen. This person, you may report to this person one day, and you don't need them knowing the dirt of your marriage. Or the dirt of your extramarital affair or whatever. I would not reveal your dirt in the workplace. I know that's a hard one.
Yeah, and I take a slightly different turn.
Because Catherine likes to talk about dating. So. All right, what's your take on this?
Well, I think that there are situations where it may be tricky not to make friends. So in other words, places where you work all night together or you do very intense work together. I know in hospitals very often people bond together, and they're not necessarily the best of friends, but they do become friends over time. So
over time, that's different.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
But that would happen anywhere over time.
Well, so let's say that over time, that's so my response to that question is, yes, you can make it friends at work, but very slowly.
Right.
You have to take your time and let them earn your trust, show you who they are, and you have to weather a number of circumstances to make sure that they're trustworthy, which is something we were talking about previously.
See, I think very intense workplaces, like an emergency room, there you've got to be friendly with everyone because you have to work together, but there's no time to really become friends unless over a long period of time you run into them, you know, leaving, and maybe because you're usually exhausted in an environment like that and you work on, you know, different schedules.
Right.
But in general, we would love for you to make your friends outside of the office.
Right.
And, you know, when I look back on my career, which has been for many years, I have one true friend that has lasted all these years that I met very early in my career. All the other workplace relationships were friendly, but we're not really friends.
Right.
Well, that's the other part, is it's developmental. Often in the early stages of your career, those friends, those people who you meet do become friends because you're all newbies, or you're, you know, you do tend to mix socializing and work more. It's just a more fluid experience. So I think what's true is as you move through your career, certainly the further on you get in your career, the less you should be shopping for friends at work.
Right.
because it just becomes a more dicey project.
I also think the less busier a company is or a workplace is, the more opportunities there are to talk a lot to people. And that's not always a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be working.
Right.
So
right.
Let's go then to this next. When is it best not to make friends at work? You're saying always, mostly.
Well, I think slowly. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to watch people's behavior. If you see them bad-mouthing others and stabbing others in the back, it's a good chance they're going to do that to you.
Right.
Or if you just see them, you know, use information about that they've learned about one person, use it against them later. I would stay clear of that person other than, hey, how are you?
Well, that's and the person who asked this question is talking about a very cliquey environment, so that would tend to indicate not safe environment.
That's right,
where there is an amount of gossip and perhaps backstabbing and unattractive behaviors like that.
What about a superior inferior? If there's like a power differential, would you also say to stay away from that?
Try, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the more political or bureaucratic a place is, the more you want to steer clear of.
It can be sometimes be difficult. So usually what you want to do is keep your head down and do your work, you know, and be super, super busy. Right. But it's always best to be deferential in general to everybody if you're in that kind of a political environment. Mm-hmm. So they don't see you as a threat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because then they're going to try to hurt you.
Oh, absolutely.
I like to call it faux friendly.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
this next question. What are the signs of a coworker who does not have the best intentions with you in terms of an office friendship? Are there any red flags?
Signs and symptoms. I would say, I think one of the first signs, and this is confusing, but the person who's too friendly, who's like totally in your space and wants to befriend you immediately, that to me is a red flag.
Mm. And what does it say?
It says that they may want to get close to you to get the goods on you or to manipulate you in some way. Mm. And I know that sounds very distrustful, but it's the same with dating. Hot and heavy at the beginning is not usually a good sign.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. The other thing that I would say is a red flag is someone who's very gossipy, because if they're gossiping about other people, you're next, and covertly competitive.
Yeah. I mean, I think somebody who's got the time to hang out and sort of tell you about
everybody. Your desk.
Yeah. And they have the time to tell you about everybody and how things work there. I think that person's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I remember years ago when I was a recruiter at the Peace Corps, there was this guy who would come around and sit at my desk and put his elbow on my desk and sort of, you know, tell me about the people at the place, in the office. And it turned out that he was a real backstabber, gossipy kind of person.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I also think that if you see somebody who's not really working, they're not really doing their job, they're fudging it, you know, they come in late, they leave early, they take forever to, you know, get their cereal together. You know, those people, I would stay away from them.
Yeah.
They're not, you don't want to be associated with the non-worker.
Right.
Yeah.
My mom used to always say that you're judged by the company you keep.
Well, I think that's very true.
And I think that that's valid in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this all speaks to being able to pull back, at least at the beginning, to observe who people are, to let them show you who they are, so that you know who's worth being friends or friendly with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back, and we're going to talk about what do you do when a workplace friendship goes bad?
Yes.
So you're going to want to stay tuned and hear that.
Yes.
So if you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, please tweet us at AskK2.
Want to get onto our email list? You can also text us at 22828 and type in My Crazy Office. That's all one word at 22828, My Crazy Office. And you can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office. We'll be right back.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We thought we'd spend the second segment of our show discussing what to do when a workplace friendship goes bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's just not fun.
Well, let's talk about the ways in which that may happen, Kathy, right? Because there are a lot of different ways of workplace friendship may go bad.
Well, it can happen when somebody gets promoted above you, uh-huh. and they get a little power hungry, uh-huh. or you get promoted above them and they're furious.
Yes.
Or you both, you know, go for a particular promotion and either one of you get it or one of you gets it.
Right.
So things, workplace related things can happen, but also personal things can happen.
I was going to say,
you know, you can have a falling out with a friend. I mean, you think they're a friend and then you go out with them one night and I don't know if it's a woman, she steals your boyfriend or, you know, vice versa, or they get really drunk and you got to take them home. I mean, all kinds of things can happen that can damage a friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes what I've seen with some of my clients is just that the other person suddenly turns on them mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and becomes competitive or judgmental mm-hmm. or in some way angry because maybe they didn't comply with exactly what that person, quote, friend wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they've been using the individual to do their work or whatever the case may be. And when the other side is not agreeable, then they turn cold.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, that's what happens in the workplace. These are the kinds of things we hear every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are, yes.
You know, and, you know, whose fault is it? I mean, I think it's something you learn is, you know, the longer you're in the workplace is, again, keep it friendly, but don't get too friendly. Right. I mean, you just don't know when you go out with somebody or you go to their home. You just don't know, you know, you got to have to show up and work with them the next day. So you don't really, shouldn't really know. Yeah. You don't want to uncover things that you don't want, maybe don't like. Mm-hmm. Maybe they live in a way that you don't like, and that could be they're too rich or too poor. It could be many things. But, you know, they could be status-oriented, and you're not. I mean, you just have to be careful. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, you can be friends with pretty much everybody at work, and they can be very different than you if you just keep it on friendly terms. All right, so what do you do when it goes bad? How do you survive that?
You bounce back from
that. Well, I think it's a process. It's got to be a process, right? The first is that you have to acknowledge that that's happening. A lot of people, when someone suddenly turns cold or gets mad or acts in a competitive way, we spend the first, you know, like trying to figure out what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And you may at first go to the person and plead with them and try to get it to turn back.
Yeah.
So I think awareness of, okay, things have changed here and this person is not complying, doesn't want to be friends, or maybe things have changed for me and I don't want to be friends. That would be the first step.
Right.
Then I think the other piece, if they're suddenly rejecting you, which is painful, is you probably are going to need to talk to someone about it.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you want to have a mediation as soon as possible. Where either some other coworker or maybe even a manager, somebody can bring the two together and just, you know, so you can either apologize or that person can apologize and you can move on, you can move forward.
Yeah.
Because tension in the workplace, when there's a falling out in a friendship, everyone feels it and everyone knows it. So it's best to get rid of that and learn how to be civil to one another in the workplace as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I've written letters to coworkers and said, you know, what happened here? This is my, you know, what I'm thinking and I apologize. And I mean, you know, it's best to just sort of, you want to get beyond it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want there to be tension.
Yeah. Right.
So the bigger the hurt, the worse it can be. You know, I don't know what the hurt is in every situation. But you don't need to get to the point where you're asked to leave. Or you're being separated from this person because
you can't interesting.
Work with them.
Yeah, so I think it's a good point. And you're also talking about tactical things that you need to do. There's internal work that you need to do, and that is you may have to grieve the loss of the friendship. You may also have to figure out what was it that you didn't see or understand that now has become clear to you?
Yeah.
You know, was this someone who maybe wasn't trustworthy? Was this someone who all along was looking to beat you in some way or win in some way? You know, mm-hmm. who are we dealing with here? And I think that the third part is that you personally have to find your way of continuing to interact with this person. So mm-hmm. while a mediation will help in terms of the dynamic between the two of you, you're going to have to deal with your own feelings of hurt or resentment, yeah. anger, and disappointment, and find a way to still confront and deal with the person.
Yeah, it's important that you know that other people are watching, and the way they see you behave is going to be an indictment or on you or congratulations on you. I mean, you right. want to be thinking about that also. This is your workplace. This is not yeah. your family, your friends. You can do whatever you want there.
Yeah.
I don't suggest it, but in the workplace, it matters. People think behavior doesn't matter, but we right. wouldn't have a business if it didn't. I mean, behavior does matter. I mean, yeah. I just had a client tell me this morning that he has an employee who hasn't spoken to him since August. And by the way, it's almost December.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's not okay. Like, why does she still have that job? I mean, and everybody sees it. Everybody yeah. knows. And it doesn't, she doesn't look good.
I was right. going to say, a lot of times you may think like you have righteous anger about it. And so you, mm. you know, give them the hairy eyeball or you give them the silent treatment or you, in one way or another, show your displeasure.
Mm-hmm.
And as Kathy's saying, it's oh so obvious.
Yeah. yeah, and we've also seen when there's a war between two people, then they get their department on their side or they get their group on their side. And yeah. then all of a sudden it has spread to more than two people.
Yeah.
And you really want to avoid that. You want to get some help here.
Yeah. So I want to use a term that we use in Mean Girls at Work all the time. Don't go there.
Yeah, don't go there. Don't go there. Try to repair this as soon as possible. I would try to repair it outside of the office.
Yeah.
yeah.
Say, let's just meet somewhere and work this out because we have to work together.
Squash it.
We don't have to like each other. We don't have to, you know, hang out, but we have to, for all appearance sake, we have to work together.
Yeah.
Right. And you do what you need to do to let go of the anger and resentment and disappointment you may feel
yeah,
towards
that
individual.
Yeah, I would also be journaling it or writing it. You know, have your case documented if anything were to come up or someone else has a problem. Because, you know, we remember things differently than they actually happen. So it's good to write it as things are happening.
Yeah.
To just have your side documented.
Yeah. And I also think there's opportunity in over time in these kinds of experiences, because I mean, really, this is where we learned about our fatal attractions. mm-hmm. You're going to find out over time who is the person that you are drawn to and want to make friends with that may not actually be good for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's valuable with time, with assistance, and as you move through that situation, there is valuable information that you can glean.
Yeah. Great.
All right, that's it for this segment. Tweet us your stories to AskK2, follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and please don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.